As we stated previously, amen, January is usually the month of resolution. And I know some of you made New Year's resolutions this year. And I think a good one is to, of course, exercise more. We talked about that. And we talked about maybe eating a little bit less. And you'd be proud of me today. I took Pastor Donald out for lunch today, and I cut my dinner in half. Amen. I only ate half of it. And the other rest is sitting there for, I guess, lunch tomorrow. Amen. And trying to be more conscious of those kind of things. Amen. And then, of course, it's a great time to decide to cease from nagging habits. Let me just go over this again, folks. Listen, if there's a television program that gives you problem, now's a good time to stop watching it. Amen. Hey, if there's a website that's bothering you, those of you that are computer people, now's a good time to stop logging on to that. Amen. If there's music that bothers you, now's a good time to get rid of it. Amen. January's that fresh start, not only getting rid of your bad habits, but increasing your good habits. Hey, now's a great time to add an extra chapter of the day to your Bible reading. Amen. You say, I do 3 chapters a day. Hey, nothing wrong with saying I'd like to do 4. You say, well, I may not do 4. Still good to have goals, amen. And I shared some of my personal goals with you on Sunday, and then I laughed. You know, I said, I'd like to read through my Bible twice. Praise God, I could still do that. I'd like to try to knock 100 new doors a week myself. And praise God, I'm able to do that. And then I said, I'd like to not miss 1 service all year. And I can't keep that one, amen. God had me to lay out Sunday night. I stated again, I'd like to personally lead 25 people to Christ this year. I'd like to make every moment count with my family. I'd like to give financially this year more than ever before. And then I laid out our 3 goals for our church this year. Rejuvenation, saturation, and renovation. Amen. And we talked about rejuvenation, revival. Psalms 85 says, O Lord, wilt thou revive us again? You know, God is still in the business of reviving His people, that He could reach more people. Hey, listen, folks, if we're dead, Jackson has no hope. We are the hope. You say, no, Jesus is the hope. Yes, I believe that. But God has no hands but your hands. God has no feet but your feet. Amen. God wants to use us to reach Jackson. And it's going to take revival. Amen. Hey, we talked about that rejuvenation. If we'll have revival, we'll have greater attendance in our Sunday school. If we have revival, we'll have greater attendance in all our services. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And listen, I don't have to preach that loud at you. It's Wednesday night and you're here. Amen, amen. But then we talked not only about rejuvenation, but we talked about saturation. And I gave you just a little byword phrase. Each one, reach one. Each one, teach one. What a goal. What a goal. You say, why is that a great goal? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus Christ Himself said in the 8th chapter of Mark that what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That a soul is worth more than the whole world. Why not have the goal of each one, reach one? There's somebody you can reach that I can't reach. Kyler, there's somebody you can reach. Pastor Rich can't reach. You've got a friend you can reach with the gospel. Brother Tom, you work at Myers. You have opportunities to reach people that I could never reach. Brother Ken Jackson, you work at a place where I never go. Uncle Joe, you're all over the place with your security business. Hey, and that goes for each one of us. Each one of us, Brother Randall, amen, with that new job. Each one of us can decide, hey, I'm going to try to reach one this year, but not only reach them, birth them into the family of God and then just leave them on the street corner. No, no. Teach one. Each one, reach one. Each one, teach one. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? I'm not a Bible teacher. Listen, we've got some wonderful, helpful material that you can very simply take and say, can we have a coffee together and let's bring our Bibles and just do a quick little 15-minute Bible study? You'd be surprised, ladies and gentlemen, how that little teaching will be the mortar that hardens around that person that sets them in their Christian life. Each one reach one, each one teach one. We talked about saturation. Hey, I'd like to see greater attendance in our Saturday soul winning. Amen. I'd like to see more people out. You say, why? So you could brag to your preacher friends? I don't do that. Amen. I'll tell you why I'd like to see more people out, more people reached. Donald had the privilege, Pastor Donald had the privilege to lead somebody to Christ on Saturday. Hey, how much more if there was 25 more of us out on Saturday? Oh my, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see greater participation in the one-on-one discipleship. And we talked about what both of those things require. Requires us to swallow our pride, get out of our comfort zones, trust God, and obey what He said, which was, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Mark 16:15. And so we talked about saturation. We talked about rejuvenation. And then we talked about renovation. And it's our goal this year to raise anywhere from $150,000 to $200,000 and put in our building fund. And we mentioned just a few pet projects. We'd like to recarpet our entire second floor. And all God's people said, boy, I'll tell you what, it needs it. Amen. And then we talked about perhaps purchasing a van for our church. And we talked about, of course, paving our parking lot. And we have to deal with a mold problem on the north side of the building that we've been just kind of scraping for several years. We need to get in there and dig that out. And we need to fix the roof on one of our barns out there. And this is going to require something, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to require sacrifice. Sacrifice. For some of you, sacrifice is $5 a week, and I appreciate that sacrifice. Amen? For others, sacrifice could perhaps be this amount. Amen? Who knows? But listen, everyone ought to sacrifice. Everyone ought to be part of this renovation. And we talked about it. You say, well, those are lofty goals. And we talked about how blessed is the man who expects nothing, for he shall never be disappointed. See, the person who never sets goals never has to worry about not reaching them. But those that set goals will come closer to those goals than people who don't set any at all. It's a good thing to set goals. Good thing. I want you to notice, if you would, in our text, and again, I know I'm rehashing the good part of this here. What is God's goal for our life? Number one, we talked about the standing in Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ. And we talked about that question, if. And God puts it in there on purpose because we need to ask ourselves, are we truly saved? Are we born again? Have we received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior? And please don't make it a lot deeper than it is. It's just this simple. God said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you realized you were a sinner and realized your hopeless condition and realized that we had a hopeful Savior and you trusted Him, you're saved. That's what the Bible says, amen. And trust in His promise. But we talked about that. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ. In other words, if you're born again. But we talked not only there about the question, if, but then the resurrection. And how Paul had been dealing with so many issues in chapter 2. And you could take the time to study them on your own. Intellectualism, ceremonialism, mysticism, legalism. And he deals with all that under the inspiration of the Spirit. And then finally the Spirit says, let's talk about Jesus. Amen. Think about what that must have been like to a writer as God was moving their pen along, as 2 Peter 1:21 says. And it's just so dark and foreboding, and all of a sudden, the bright light of the resurrection shines out. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, and we talked about how the resurrection brings hope. If Christ be not risen, we are of all men most miserable. Why? Because we've staked our never-dying souls on the fact that He rose from the grave. Believe me, but He did rise. Amen. He's not in that garden tomb. Amen. He did rise from the dead. And so we talked about the standing, the question, the resurrection. Then we talked about the position. It says there, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And then look at verse number 3, for it says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You know what? Positionally, you and I are as good as if we're already in heaven. We got reservations. Amen. We got names on our mansions. I believe, and again, it's not doctrine, so I'll get away from the pulpit here. I believe we got the names on the back of our chairs for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I might even have my menu already picked out. Amen. What does that mean? What's it talking about? Our standing. We're hid in God in Christ. We're safe from the devil. Your soul is safe, amen. As I've said many times, in the name, your name in the book of life will never be blotted out because you trusted Christ. It's been lacquered in, amen. It's safe. Our standing, the position, the resurrection, the question. Then number 2, the seeking. The seeking, right there in verse number 1, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And it is no shock to those of us who know the Bible that fleshly people seek after fleshly things and fleshly lusts. And we just gave some obvious illustrations there. Listen, a sinner sins because he's a sinner. That co-worker of yours that's not saved, that you'd like to reform because you don't like his mouth, reformation's not going to do him any good. He needs regeneration. He needs to be saved, amen. Because I'll tell you something, when you get saved, it'll clean up your language. When you get saved, it'll clear the liquor out of your fridge, amen. Hey, when you get saved, it'll take the pornography out of your home, amen. God's in the saving business, and what we want him to do is just stop cussing. Listen, no, get him saved. That'll stop them from cussing and give them a home in heaven. Well, we talked about that, and this is about when my notes began to swirl. Amen? Can we say this? Just as sure as the fleshly person ought to seek the things of the flesh, so the Christian who is dead to sin ought to seek the things of God. And we talked about why. If we're indeed risen with Christ, can we say this? We have a different standing. We talked about that. We have a different nature. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. You say, I don't feel Him all the time. Join the club. Amen? Salvation's not about feeling. It's a fact. The fact that you trusted Christ, did what God said. Amen. Now, I'm glad for the times when I feel saved, but I don't feel saved every day. But I know I am, according to the Word of God. We have different standing, different nature. Can we say this? We have a different master. I had a preacher in the area who shall remain nameless, and don't even ask me, I won't tell you. But he tried to, wasn't being mean, just wanted to be a blessing, but he tried to corral me into kind of like a pyramid type, like an Amway kind of a thing, selling. And I said, my church pays me a wonderful salary, housing allowance, just to be their pastor. But you know what really got me? And of course, when you're with one of those people, they're very smooth in how they can kind of move you in. But you could do so much more. You could reach so many more people. And I said this, when I would see people, I would see dollar signs. And no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. And you know what I told him? I'm on the wall, just like Nehemiah. I'm doing a great work. I can't come off the wall. You see, listen, I've got a different master than I used to have. Hey, you know, the devil used to be my master. And I used to work hard for that master. And forgive me, Sunday morning, maybe I worked a little too hard for my new master. Amen. But listen, I want to work as hard for God as I ever did for the devil. Different master, different nature, different standing. How about this? Different citizenship. Oh, we're going to be studying in Hebrews chapter 11. Hey, you know what it says about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? They were pilgrims in a strange country. Why? Because they looked for a city with half foundations whose builder and maker is God. Hey, that's us. Don't drive your stakes too deep down into this world because we're not going to be here very long. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Amen. Different citizenship. How about this? A different life. You know, when I look back to what I was before I was saved, and please, I'm not perfect, and neither are you. We've all got private sin. Now, Pastor Donald and I were at lunch today. We've all got private sin we've got to deal with consistently. Amen. You haven't arrived. Amen. But I am a completely different person in Jesus Christ than I was before I was saved. Why? Because therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Different life. And can we say, of course, we have a different destiny. We have a different destiny. We were destined for the place called hell before we got saved. God changed our destiny. So what is he saying here? Hey, we're supposed to seek those things which are above. However, because we still have flesh, we're going to have a battle between the spirit and the flesh. Galatians 5:17 says, "The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to another." So God here takes the time to remind us to seek those things which are above. Can I just give you three quick things that are above? Things that bring glory to God. That's what you ought to be seeking after. Things that bring glory to God. And can we say this? If you're seeking things that bring glory to God, you know what happens to those things that don't bring glory to God? They don't have your seeking. They pine away. Amen? Why? You're seeking that. You're actively searching and seeking for things that bring glory to God. Can we say this? Actively seeking and searching for things that are commended by the Word of God. Things that this Bible says. Hey, you know what I think of right away? Wisdom. Where do you get wisdom? Right here. Amen. Seeking after souls. Amen. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, so many things that are commended by this book. Those are things we ought to seek after. And can we say this? Things that please the Spirit of God. Each one of us in our early Christian life face that battle between the flesh and the Spirit. That tug and match. That spiritual all-time tug of war. And sad to say, and you don't have to say amen to this, but I'll just say it for myself. Sad to say, the times I gave into the flesh. I knew I shouldn't have, but I did. But I'll tell you what. Tell you what happened. Spirit of God was working and saying, no, don't do that. And you know what else he says? Yes, do that. Do that. You get ready to pass somebody by and you got gospel tracts on you, I guarantee you the Holy Spirit will say, give him a track. Now, he doesn't say it out loud, amen. Give him a track, amen. And you're like, oh, I can't do that. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's a wonderful thing when you just start saying, you know what, I'm going to do things that please the Spirit of God. And I know passing out the gospel pleases the Spirit. So many other things, amen, we could talk about. The standing. The seeking, and then number three, the setting. Look at verse number two, and this is really the focus of our message proper here. It says in verse two, set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. What is God's goal for our lives? That we would set our affection on the things above, not on the things of the earth. The three-word English phrase, set your affection, comes from just one Greek word. It's the word phroneo. Phroneo. And those of you that are use your Strong's Concordance, it's number 5426. It's translated 29 times in your King James Bible, meaning to direct one's mind to a thing, to seek, to strive for, to seek one's interest or advantage, to be one's party or side with him. It's used in Matthew 16:23. The word is savorist. Mark 8:33, same word, savorist. Acts 28:22, thinkest. Romans 8:5, for they that are after the flesh do mind, phroneo, mind. In Romans 12:3, the word think is used twice, same word. Be of the same mind, Romans 12:16, Romans 15:5. Be like-minded, First Corinthians 4:6, to think, 1 Corinthians 13:11, I understood as a child, 2 Corinthians 13:11, to be of one mind, all through Philippians. Think, like-minded, one mind. Let this mind be in you. Let us be thus minded. Let us mind. What is it trying to say here in this? Well, what is God trying to tell us? To mind spiritual heavenly things. That's God's goal for our lives. Hey, listen, folks. We all need food. Some of us need more of it than you do. Me. some of us need more to keep the old ship going. Amen. I understand. Hey, we all need food. You know what else we all need? We all need clothing. We all need shelter. We all need heat and vehicles and fuel to run the vehicles and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you know what? Your Heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. He knows you have these needs. And so what he's telling us in Matthew chapter 6, when he says, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or wherewith we clothe? Because our Heavenly Father has need. But then he says this, but seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness, wherein all these things will be added. What does he say? Set your affection on things above. If we could say it so boldly, God says, you take care of my business, and I'll take care of yours. And you know what he says? Whether you take care of my business or not, I'll still take care of yours. But we'd be a whole lot better off if we'd say, you know what? I'm going to stop looking at all these earthly things and start looking at heavenly things. Start setting my affections, minding the things that are above. That's God's goal for our lives. We talk about revival. Rejuvenation, you know what that is? Setting our affections on things above. We talk about saturation, trying to reach our community for Christ. You know what that is? Setting our affections on things above. Even the renovations, folks, though it's certainly made of earthly materials and all that, but you know what it's really for? It's for the glory of God. That this building would look as good as it could possibly look on our dollar. Why? For the glory of God. And that's setting our affections on things above. Hey, I know this. Many a time, I have to confess to you, I set my affections on things of earth. But you know what this is? This is God's little correction for us. You know, God knows when we need a pat on the back. And God knows when we need a push. And I think for some of us, this is a pat on the back. Set your affections on things above. You've been doing that your whole life. You've been saved all these years. Keep setting your affections on things above. And I think for others of us, God's saying, hey, snap out of it. Set your affections on things above. Let's bow our heads.